Ana.
He's not on yet, Randall.
Okay.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening.
We're on the Sulam commentary of the Zohar on the Hashem website. You'll find the handout at the Revealed Wisdom Matrix in row one, the right-hand column. When that landing page opens up, scroll down to Parasha Lech Lecha, and we'll be starting at Pasuk 348. We start with the L'shem Yehud, and then read Yerameh. L'shem Yehud to Chabari Chun Shinte Bidiki Lur, Shimu Luki Luki Lur, Shimu Liakda L'shem Yehud Bavavhe, Yehuda Shalim B'shem Kol Yisrael, Limud Torah Mitzvah, Vasok Torah Mitzvah, Vayino Amadunai Elohino Alene Maseya Deno Kanane Alene Maseya Deno Kananehu. Amar Rabbi Abba Zaka Ain Inun Zadikaya Yo Benishmat Hon Bidatrim Kame Malka Kadisha Adla Yeton Lealma Dehake Taninan Behahio Shata Deapik Kuchabarisu Nishmatin Lealma Kolinun Ruhin Venishmatin Kalho Kalilan Dekar Venukwa Demicha Beran Kahada. The translation. Rabbi Abba responded, "Happy are the righteous, whose souls are adorned as they enter before the Holy King, before coming to this world, to enter the body, because we have learned that when the Holy One, blessed be He, sends the souls forth to the world, all of these spirits and souls include a male and a female joined together." My commentary. With Rabbi Ashlag's comments, the pasuk is clear as written. Do you think that when the male and female souls appear to Hashem, He puts them back together to be separated again during the descent to the physical world? Questions, comments, thoughts?
Well, it does say joined together. Is this what you referred to in the I think it was one of the classes, as your cosmic soulmate?
Yes.
Okay.
I refer to it as with the name cosmic soulmate to identify the, this is the other part of you that mm-hmm. without that part, you're really never complete.
Mm-hmm.
And from a standpoint of your tikkun, until you have a marriage with your cosmic soulmate, there is no ability to complete your tikkun. You can get very close to it, but the completion requires the cosmic soulmate relationship. Now, you can have a soulmate in any given lifetime, because if your cosmic soulmate gives permission to another, either female, if we're talking about a woman, or a male, if we're talking about a man, if the essence of the soul gives permission to another female to be married, to help and assist the growth of that other half, that's considered a soulmate for this lifetime.
Mm-hmm. Well, when we went through it the first time, a few weeks back, I didn't remember that it said happy are the righteous souls when they're called before the Holy King. So it sounds like the souls are happy to be able to enter a body.
They're happy because they're appearing before Hashem for that instant before they come down to the physical world. They're closer to Hashem than they are normally.
Mm-hmm.
They're also happy because there is elsewhere in the Zohar, it says that the males and the females are separated except on Shabbat, on Erev Shabbat, the evening of Shabbat. And we've discussed that what happens on the evening of Shabbat is the creation of souls through to the intimacy between a husband and a wife.
Right.
If a child, a physical child, does not come from that intimacy, a soul will come from that intimacy, because that intimacy is taking place on all of the worlds, not just the physical world. And so they're happy because they're united. Normally, even in heaven, they're not united during the week, but on Shabbat they are.
Well, I didn't remember that. I'm glad you brought it out again.
Well, I don't think I've ever said it quite like that before either. So,
all right.
Yeah. You know, it's the questions that make the connections in the thoughts. So you're the one who brought that out, not me.
Mm-hmm. I would assume that the garments are the mitzvot. Do you think that the male and the female are pretty much clothed alike?
Are you asking about the cosmic soulmate?
Well, it says...
Or the soulmate for life, the lifetime, or are you talking about a given soul?
Well, when they come before Hashem, you know, where it says whose souls are adorned as they appear before the Holy King before coming to this world to enter the body. So if they're adorned, I think adorned with mitzvot, that's the garments that they have on. And I'm just wondering if they have pretty much the same garments. I mean, could one be more heavily adorned than the other and one less, or are they about the same? Have they stayed together? I don't know. I don't know how to.
Well, let's look. I haven't heard an answer to that question, but let me walk through some things I have heard.
Okay.
You are correct. The mitzvot and the good deeds is what creates the garments, which is you're assuming that it's the garments that is the word, the word adorn is referring to. But it could be that they're adorned with each other.
Oh, okay.
That one soul is because they're intertwined together. Remember, Adam was created with Chava back to back. So that we could understand adornment, but both as the garment, the skin of light or the clothing of light that we've read in other places in the Zohar, but we could also understand it that the 10 sephirot of the male and the 10 sephirot of the female intertwine together and therefore we could consider that they are adorning each other. Mm-hmm. They're wearing each mm-hmm. other. So we really don't understand what that word is saying.
Well,
but if we're talking and you are correct that it's the skin of light, the mitzvot that was done in earlier lifetimes, then the woman would have more, a greater adornment, a greater intensity of light than the man, because the man may not have been cleansed in Gehinnom, whereas the woman will always go to Gehinnom and be totally cleansed. So her image, but I would think when you're standing in front of the Holy One, blessed be He, that there's no impurity associated with either one of the souls.
That's true.
And another reason that they are happy, or another explanation of why they are happy, is because they know they have an opportunity to come into the physical world, and that's the only place they can complete their tikkun. That's the only place where they can do actions of mitzvot. And so they're looking forward to that opportunity with the consciousness that they're going to succeed this time.
Mm-hmm. I've often wondered, since we converted together, you know, we came to that decision together, if that
right.
wasn't our tikkun for this generation. And I thought, yeah, I've had such a good life. I've always thought, it would be good to come back. But can you be sure that it would be as good as this lifetime has been? You know, makes you wonder.
It's wonderful that you've had a good life. Well, you've also had friends who have not had a good life.
Yeah.
And there's a we don't know, because a lot of it is the parents that we choose. It's a lot of the experiences, the life experiences that we need to experience, that is our tikkun that sets us away. We may have a reaction to a life experience that draws us out of balance. We just don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But you always have to remember that every life experience is good. That the world that we live in is always perfect, always perfectly just. And that's very hard to hear for somebody who's lost children. It's very hard to hear for someone who's losing someone and they're in the process of some difficulty, whether it's financial, whether it's a life-threatening, but all of those actions are perfectly just, because every negative action that happens to an individual human being is done as a form of cleansing, and the cleansing brings them to a higher level of spirituality, meaning a higher level closer to Hashem. And that is the ultimate goal, to be standing next to Hashem.
Right.
it is wonderful that you've had a good life, and the fact that you've converted together is a good sign. You know, you weren't on the call, I believe it was last Thursday, when we did the verse 346 through 47, and we were talking about the five signs of the soulmate. I don't know if you listened to that one or not.
Yes, and I knew about it before from your other teachings, but the whole thing was, Tony and I get every five, you know, all five. He was in Germany, met him, and even after he came home, his uncle, I can remember being in his mother's living room, and his uncle came to visit, and he said, "You going to marry that French girl? Well, I'm going to tell you, that French girl is going to leave you when when life gets tough." So even in that point, the strange part is all of his children divorced. And, of course, we're still together. But, I mean, every one of my points. So I'm convinced he's my soulmate.
Well, it's a shame. And that's why the Ari gave us those signs, so we would know.
Mm-hmm.
So, should I go on to the next verse?
If you have time.
Yeah, we do. It's still, we've got time for another verse. And
okay.
Usually on Monday, the caregiver is late, so we'll see. Verse 349. Oit masran biyad bida dehahu mimana shilicha deit pakad al idu ehon divneinasha belaila shimeya ushata denachatin Beit Masran Bidoy Misparshain Uzimnin Dakdin Minda Viachet Leho Bivne Nasha. The translation: they are handed over to a governor who is an emissary in charge of human conception, and whose name is Lila, and that English is normally translated as night. So when they descend to the world and are handed over to that governor, they are separated from each other. Sometimes one precedes the other in coming down and entering the body of a human being. My commentary is that the pasuk is clear as written, but there is no comment by Rabbi Ashlag. Questions, comments, thoughts?
Well, I remembered from the last time, which I didn't, I think I must have asked you about a governor. And you told me that the governor was in charge of getting the details with the sperm, getting to meet the egg. I remember that. And I just don't think I thought of a detail like that. But I'm also thinking that my granddaughter had a stillborn little girl about 3 years ago, and she named her Lila Grace. I wonder if there's a connection between the name and the governor.
Well, between the name and the governor?
Mm-hmm. If the governor's name is Lila, and then my granddaughter didn't know, she didn't know any of this, but she named the little stillborn girl Lila. I don't know.
But the governor is an angelic minister.
Right.
One of the 70, there's an angelic minister for each nation. There's an angelic minister who's responsible for every mitzvah. There's an angelic minister that's responsible for various things like this process of beating the sperm with the egg. There's an angelic minister in this particular case who is in charge of making sure that the half soul finds its way to the right parents that they have chosen and agreed to come to. And remember, Hashem has said before that Hashem splits these two half souls, or splits the soul into two half souls, one male and one female. Hashem has announced who they are going to marry in the physical world. And so the task of Lila is to make sure that they meet each other by being put into the parents, being put into the proper womb, that they will eventually find the astrological influences to bring them together. Remember, an angel is only given one task to perform. Mm-hmm. They don't multitask at all. They're not capable of multitasking.
So what happens to a child that's stillborn and meeting that soulmate? Would it mean another reincarnation later on?
Yes. Or maybe that being in the womb was what it lacked. The mistakes that were made in the womb, it had to re-experience them. Mm-hmm. And so that could be what the purpose was. You don't know if it was completed or if they will reincarnate.
Well, my mother had, when I did genealogy, I found that my mother had a sister that died at 2 years old. And it made me wonder if the stillborn child that came into our family through my granddaughter, if that wasn't the amount of time she needed, was just a short period of time to, if it was that same person, that same soul, I should say. And being 2 years old, she couldn't have done too much that needed rectification. So it made me wonder if that was the reincarnation into a stillborn child that just had to be in the womb a certain amount of time. And of course, I know we can't know for sure, but I did have those thoughts.
Well, I'm of the opinion you can know for sure. You just have to utilize the meditations and the tools that we teach about the meditations properly.
Mm-hmm.
But you also have to remember, you're curious about that, the question. But do you really need the answer to that question in order to achieve your tikkun?
Not really, I don't think. Maybe later I'll think different, but
I wouldn't think either.
Yeah. So, now, I have noticed the name Lila is appearing a lot as a name for a girl. I like to read them,
right.
The births in the newspaper. And I noticed that it's a very popular name today.
People don't study it. They comment about it. But names go through cycles.
Mm-hmm.
So the name Jennifer is a very common name for my children's generation. And I have a daughter, Jennifer, and there in her grammar school there were four or five Jennifers. And, you know, people over, that I've met throughout my life have been named Jennifer. And when you understand the process of the tikkun, you know, the name is indicating what someone's tikkun is. There's a reason why all these half souls or all these souls essentially are coming at the same time, because they have similar tikkunim, and they have a shared tikkun for the generation. And so that's why it's becoming popular. And when you think about what is the meaning of the name Laila being night, meaning desire to receive, the tikkun of the generation is to grow and expand the desire to receive.
When I looked up the name, you know, at the time that she lost the child, there was a connection to Egypt, you know. I don't remember exactly what, but I do remember there was a connection.
I understand.
We're getting a lot of telephone calls because of the election. I bet we've had 5 calls today. They all say unavailable, but they give you the message about please vote for so-and-so.
Louisiana has an election today.
Not today, but coming soon, in 2 weeks. They've mailed out the ballots. We get ours by mail, and
right.
We got them.
Understand. Well, let's go on to verse 350.
Okay.
Uta mata idan. To be married arrives, the Holy One, blessed be He, who knows the males and the females of these spirits and souls, joins them as they were before they came down to the world. And He announces the daughter of so-and-so to so-and-so. When they are joined together, they become one body and one soul. They are the right and the left in proper unison. The male is the right side of the body and soul. The female is the left side. And because of this, there is nothing new under the sun. Meaning, even though the Holy One, blessed be He, announces the daughter of so-and-so to so-and-so, this is nothing new, but rather a return to how they were before coming down to this world. And since only the Holy One, blessed be He, knows this, He therefore announces regarding them. My commentary. With Rabbi Ashlag's comments, the pasuk is clear as written. The questions I asked above have not yet been answered, although we have answered some of them in our discussions. Questions, comments, thoughts.
Well, half of the verse is in caps, so Rabbi Eisenberg really did give us a lot there to understand.
Yes, he did.
And I guess he's basically saying it's nothing new because Hashem had already announced it from the beginning as far as the announcement coming into the universe, so to speak. I mean, that's what I get from it.
Well, he's also clarifying and saying what I said earlier, that the announcement takes place before people come to the world, isn't mm-hmm. true. It's announced as they complete or earn the merit to get married. But the announcement isn't new, because the announcement is just reflecting the arrangement of the souls that took place before they came down.
You think the souls speak to each other before they come down?
Yes. They're looking at the movie together. They're looking at the movie of this lifetime together. Do you want to contemplate what's in this verse before we ask questions or let it go for today?
Well, I really don't know what else to say. The thing about it is I just think it's awesome. You know, I always thought she came down, you know, that Hashem would do what was going to be. I don't know. I didn't think of the souls coming down together before the Zohar reading. I thought it was a singly appearing and telling us what our lifetime was going to be like, and us agreeing, which used to make me feel like if I was going through a hard time that I had already discussed it with Hashem and that it was going to be all right. You know, we'd come out okay, or I'd come out okay, because I was thinking of myself. I never thought of this as you know, the two souls coming down together. So it makes for a beautiful picture, I think.
I agree. It is a beautiful picture.
And then I think when you do go through something hard and you know that you came before Hashem, then, I don't know, it makes a difference. I can't say easing the difficult time, but in a way that's I don't know, it sort of gives you a peace, you know.
Just be aware that not everybody has the certainty that you have developed. So going through a hard time is a way of manifesting the certainty, growing the certainty.
Well, this past time, I had just finished the exercise of praying that I had talked to you about, you know, the 515 and when and the right date, the right time and everything, and I felt like the 18th of Elul was the date. But there was still one little, you know, insecurity, I guess, that I was doing the right thing. So I told Hashem I wasn't going to set the clock. That if I was to do that ritual, that, and I had like 22 to 25 names on the list, so to make sure that it wasn't a selfish prayer, and those that were Jewish, and I knew their Hebrew name, I spoke both their names. But it wasn't but maybe 5 hours later that Tony got so sick. And I never took it as a negative, because my first thought was, oh, Satan is trying to, and when I think of Satan, I don't really think of an entity anymore, because knowing that it's Hashem who created evil, you know, and so the evil entity, you know, to test us. And so I felt like because of that, because I knew that behind, if it was an attempt to make me lose my certainty that that particular ritual was not going to work, I didn't have that, because it was knowing that Hashem had actually created good and evil. And so I didn't worry the whole time he was in the hospital there. So I felt like if that was a test, well, I didn't lose it. I didn't.
Okay, Jim.
And I always feel like you can't take credit for anything, you know. So it has to be Hashem gave me the peace, you know.
Absolutely.
So.
It is Hashem that provides everything.
Right.
Including the stress. So.
Right.
So let's call the class, and
okay.
We'll start tomorrow at 8:51.
Okay.
Tonight at the 7 o'clock class, we'll have a class on the Ari. And tomorrow, I will only be able to do about part of the Slichot. I have another appointment to attend one of the classes here. Not okay. One I'm giving, but one that somebody else is giving. And then
okay, and
I
have blood work tomorrow morning, so I probably won't make it.
Okay.
Before my
but I will have a class at 2 p.m. Mm-hmm. my time, which is 11 a.m. for those who would like to come, although the subject is the same thing we covered yesterday. What is the energy of the year 5780? But as I keep telling you, you'll hear different things because the class, the people in class are different.
Okay. And that's, is that 11 our time?
No, that's 11 West Coast time.
Okay, West Coast.
So
okay,
time,
so it's 1.
Your time would be 1 p.m.
Okay, I'm not sure. You know, we're waiting any day to hear from the doctors for him to go to Lafayette. We thought that we were going to get the call today, and they didn't call, so.
Okay.
So we wait.
I believe somebody else wanted to say something.
No 9 o'clock tomorrow morning? No 9 o'clock?
I will start it, but I won't be able to finish it.
Okay.
Shalom Gadol. You all have a beautiful
evening. Shalom Gadol.
Thank you.